podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Fire for them, fire for them. If you're looking for that 35 bag umbrella and all damn thing there, keep it locked with this Dissonomics podcast.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome back to another episode of the Dissonomics podcast. Hope you've had a great week. The sun is out, the sun is shining. It has been an eventful week. Like, I was enjoying the hip-hop madness that was going on, the hip-hop wars that was going on. And then, boom, a real world conflict could potentially have been initiated on Saturday evening, right? So as you know already by the title, we are talking Iran attacking Israel. In fact, let me rephrase that. Iran retaliating towards Israel, right? A lot of people are asking me, yo, Jesse, what does this mean? Like, how's it going to affect prices? Is there going to be another world war? So this is what we're going to talk about today. What happened? Why did Iran retaliate on Israel? Was it a real retaliation? Was it posturing? Are Israel shook? Is Iran shook? Are we going to see World War III? Are we in danger? What is going on? So this is effectively your one-stop shop to understand what you're seeing in the news from top to bottom. We're going to do our very best to give you all the gist, as a lady say, all the tea. And I'm not going to lie, ladies were cooking with that one still. But yeah, we're going to get into it. Iran get their lick back on Israel. But are we heading for World War III? That's coming up after a short break.
Hi, it's MXM, and listen to the Dissonomics podcast because it's lit.
Yo, whew. Okay, there's so many ways we could start this podcast, but I'm going to tell you why Saturday happened, right? And I believe it was April the 1st, 2024. In fact, let me even go back. This is my opinion. I personally believe, I think it was early January, there was a historic... Oh, what is the gentleman's name? Should I Google? I'll put it on the screen for YouTube. There was a historic general that 10 years ago was killed by an American slash, I think it was an American airstrike, right? Killed this general, right? Took him out. And this was a big thing for the people of Iran. And every year they commemorate his death. There was like a big, like it's almost like a big funeral festivities. And there was a terror attack killing over 100 people, maybe even 200 people. And a lot of people were looking towards Israel. And me personally, like, it was claimed by ISIS, but who is taunting ISIS? Who's putting a battery in their back? Who's giving them an intelligence? Who's giving them the money? And I'm going to lie, me personally, to me, this had Israel's fingerprints all over it. So this is me, this is where I believe this iteration started. Do you get what I'm saying? But the guaranteed iteration of this, at the very worst, was, I believe, the 1st of April. Up on the 1st of April, there was a meeting going on between a couple of Iranian generals and some other top brass people from the Axis of Resistance. So that's people from Lebanon. That's people from Hamas. That's just people from Iraq and Syria. And this happened in Damascus, which is the capital of Syria, in the Israeli consulate. So this is diplomatic premises. So usually people of this high level of importance probably wouldn't meet in one place, because they're all too important. But I believe it's because of the nature of where they're meeting, they believe that they were safe. And of course, that was tragically not the case. So the generals, so long-serving diplomats were killed alongside General Mohammad Reza Zahidi and Zahidi's deputy, General Hajid Rahimi. So from my research, like, Zahidi was in charge of the logistics of, like, getting supplies of weapons to all the different regions, you get it. And why this is big is because from doing my research, listening to military people doing analysis, watching the news, but I prefer the people that were in the military doing analysis. They say, when you're in this type of field, yeah, a lot of stuff is relationships because you're dealing in a very, very devious market. So you have to trust people that you're talking to. So this person has been in this position for 20, 30 years. And they've also clapped the deputy. So the person that can step into his position has also died. So this is a significant strike for Israel because this is messing up the logistics of what Iran has got going on. And not only is this key figures for Iran, but it's also effectively an act of war because you have killed an Iranian general on Iranian soil because it's Iranian soil. And this is a clear breach of international law. Now, was there condemnations outside of Russia and China? No. We didn't see David Cameron, our foreign minister. We didn't see nothing from Rishi Sunak, nothing from Keir Starmer, nothing from Joe Biden, nothing from Emmanuel Macron, nothing from Olaf, the German Chancellor, so on and so forth, right? But Iran said, yo, we ain't gonna let this slide. We are not going to let this slide because this is a clear act of war. And this is what led us to what you've seen on the weekend, right? So before I get into, actually, let's talk about what happened first. Actually, should we get into the background? Let's get into the background. We got slow cook this one, right? Because as you know, Iran launched gazillion drones towards Israel and also some missiles, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, right? Now, nobody was killed. I believe the rumors is that there's one girl that's potentially critically injured, a six-year-old, but I'm not sure how true that just is. So I'm not going to really say that that's guaranteed because man don't know, do you get what I'm saying? Now, Israel and America and their allies are playing this off as nothing happened. This is a bad thing. They should have never done this. It's reckless. It's escalation, but everything's good. But the real gist is that, no, they actually managed to strike one of Israel's bases in Negev. And they caused significant damage, where it's, according to Israeli sources, it's not operational right now. But naturally, they're not going to say this out loud because that's an L. And the people going to be like, yo, you're going to have to rise on their minds. You get what I'm saying? And we're going to get into all the game theory around that. But I think it's very, very important to take a step back and to understand how we got to this point. So we have to look at the history of the Israeli conflict. Iran, right now, their thing is Israel is Fugazi. They should not exist. It's actually Palestine. And the Zionist regime are illegal occupiers and colonizers. That is one of their main gripes of Israel. The other gripe, which is almost as important, if not more important, depending on what you believe, is they are grappling with Israel and effectively Saudi Arabia for influence within the region. Also, Iran does not mess with Israel's biggest ally, the United States. This is very interesting because in 1948 was when Israel was controversially established. Iran was the second majority Muslim country to recognize its existence. And yeah, okay, cool. We recognize, we normalize with Israel. And that's because the governing body at the time was an Iranian, like, kind of kingdom ruling body, and they were sympathetic towards the West, right? Some people say that they're just the West puppets. Now, of course, after decades and decades, the Iranian people, they weren't feeling this. What is this by my head? Oh, stupid plants. Which led to the Iranian Revolution in 1979. And the Iranian Revolution in 1979 flipped the script. Now, it went from, yeah, we're cool with the West, you know what I'm saying? We're dogs. But now, that shit's a dub. The Iranian Revolution saw a completely different energy and temperature towards Israel. The Western-backed regime, yeah, out of here, they'll kick to the curb. So the first supreme leader of Iran, that was the man that helped influence this revolution, and I want to get the pronunciation as right as possible, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, right? So he was the first initial leader, and his thing was, listen, we are sick of the West and these global powers and their arrogancy trying to influence the region. And we're sick of this. We're standing up to these world powers and their regional allies. Basically, see you puppet countries in the ends? That shit's a dub now. Do you get what I'm saying? They dubbed Israel Little Satan and America the Great Satan. So this is their mortal enemies, right? So instantly, as soon as Ayatollah Khomeini touched base in 1979, ties, diplomatic ties with Israel, lock off, done. the Israeli embassy became the Palestinian embassy because we do not recognize you. And even to this day, Iran, you won't catch an Iranian leader say the word Israel. Whenever I've seen these gentlemen speak in the media, they always refer to them as the Zionist regime or the illegal occupiers. They don't even believe in the term Israel. Like, that is how hostile they are towards Israel because of the belief of how Israel came to pass, how they've treated the Palestinians, and of course, Israel's tie with America. And of course, Israel has... And also, there's the political game theory thing of Israel's influence within the region. They also believe that we have these effectively like a Western entity in an area that is predominantly a Muslim area. They weren't really feeling that whatsoever. Like that, nah. The Iran, nah. And hence why ever since then, ever since 1979 up until today, the hostilities between Iran and America and Israel is very, very, very real. Another thing that Khomeini he declared every last Friday of Ramadan, which is the Muslim holy month, as Quds Day. And ever since then, large rallies are held on this Quds Day. And these are rallies that help, that are effectively a support for the Palestinians in Jerusalem, known as the Al-Quds in Arabic. Sorry, let me repeat that. These rallies are, of course, held on behalf of the Palestinians, and Al-Quds is actually, the definition of Al-Quds is, let me start the shit again. Interestingly, Iranians also declared every last Friday of Ramadan a Quds Day, right? And this has been happening for a long time, and you see a lot of rallies protested for the freedom of Palestine. Jerusalem is actually known as Al-Quds in Arabic, right? So this is the significance of this. What's very interesting about how they move is that in 2017, in a place that they know as Palestine Square, they've got a clock, which, I saw this on a DW documentary, where it has the countdown to the demise of Israel, which is 2040. So this is a very hardline like approach to Israel, like we do not believe humanity exists. And ever since the Iranian Revolution, they have had extreme vocal support for the freedom and liberation of Palestine. What was quite clever from a political perspective is by associating tying themselves to the liberation of Palestinian people is that instead of going for a Arab nationalist movement, they went for more of an Islamist movement. And this is a way more inclusive movement because you've got Arabs v. Persians, definition will be on the screen. Shia Muslims versus Sunni Muslims. So you've got those differences. But if you go for, okay, cool, we are doing this under the guise of Islam, this is what is guiding our politics, our foreign policy, that is more inclusive for everybody else within the region. And as you've heard from my podcast, they've got influence with the Houthis in Yemen, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza, and obviously Iraq and Syria, their influence is also felt. This is all in the axis of resistance. And their influence have grown over time, and this is why they're so influential. And you've seen what's been happening in the last 6 months with the attacks on Israel, with the attack on Israel leading to Israel's invasion of Gaza, and you've seen how the Yemenis have basically halted world trade. Hezbollah have been carrying out various military strikes in Gaza. What's super interesting about this conflict is that Iran and Israel have effectively been engaging in covert war with each other, right? And this has been dubbed by many called the Shadow War, right? So they have gone at each other, allegedly, in each other's nations and outside of it, but nobody really claims like their works. Not like the kids on YouTube or on Snapchat showing, oh yeah, I just did this to this person. They're not really trying to claim it because it's bad in the political public eye, right? Israel has focused their attacks on Iran's nuclear program because they do not want Iran to get nuclear weapons. and I understand it from Israeli perspective, if these men think that we should not exist and they get a nuclear weapon, our existence is in danger. Now, it's quite ironic how the West and Israel do not want Iran to have nuclear weapons and how a lot of people have kind of denuclearized themselves. Obviously, people like America still have nuclear weapons and the United Kingdom. Israel, by all accounts, have nuclear weapons, but they'll never admit it. But nobody else in the region can have nuclear weapons. Anyway. So when Israel engages in stuff, they're always trying to target the capability of Iran to have nuclear weapons, right? So USA and Israel have been widely believed to be behind a Stuxnet malware incident that impacted major damage on Iran's nuclear capabilities in the 2000s, right? And to the point where Israel has actually attempted 6 assassinations, I believe, and it's what the Iranians believe, actually, and I believe too, be successful in 5 of them, targeting Iranian nuclear scientists, right? And the most high-profile one is top nuclear scientist Mohsin Fakhrizadeh was gunned down using a satellite-monitored AI-controlled machine gun on the back of a pickup truck. So this is serious tech, you know. So AI machine gun gunned this gentleman down and this truck self-imploded, so there's no evidence. Mad. I didn't catch that. Shut up, Siri. Israel, on the other hand, has accused Iran for a series of attacks on its interests, including several drone strikes on Israel-owned oil tankers and cyber attacks, which is interesting because I believe they launched a cyber attack the other day. Now let's get to the ish, right? So Saturday evening, after Drake has slapped you lot's boy Kendrick Lamar, slapped his head, pap, 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 Rick Ross, pap, pap, Young Metro, pap, pap, Future, pap, pap, just slapped hella man's heads. I was basking in hip-hop joy. Then I start to see the tweets come through. And then I had to open Al Jazeera. I was looking at all the tweets, all the tweeters that I know are in the loop in the Middle East, looking at Sky News, Spectator Index, all these things, and it was crazy, right? So, Iran has already been warning everybody, we're going to get these men, yeah? And you man better stay out of it. Because when they did us and we complained, nobody said anything, yeah? So you lot better stay out of it. Now, America tried their very best to stop this, right? They even hit up like China and rushed China to be like, yo, I beg you, tell me that man to chill. And even President Biden, he was actually meant to go for like a couple of days off on the weekend. And he had to like, no, we got to go sort this out. And there was talk of like, he actually tried to get the reins on the phone. And they said, don't call our phone. Listen, you lot stay out the way. Don't get involved and everything's good. But if you do get involved, see those bases you have in the region? Yeah? For the audio listeners, I'm putting the gun because that's what they told their man, yeah? And they told anybody who gets involved, who assists, who opens the airspace to Israel or anybody, yeah, is on site. So what happened? They launched dozens of drones from all angles. Drones from Iraq, drones from Lebanon, drones from Iran, drones from Yemen. And these drones take a while, so Israel knew they were coming. So the Israeli Defense Force spokesperson spoke, yep, this is happening. Loads of countries shut down airspaces. There was a lot of panic on the streets. And it's crazy. Like, you could see all the visuals. I'm going to put them on the YouTube screen. You can literally see these guys, these drones fly through the sky. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter like, but what was the point? Like, they're going to shoot these down anyway. They see them coming. Okay. Well, what they did was they sent them in batches. And the idea was to drain the defense force, because obviously... it's called MADS, I can't remember. So basically they have a system, they've got the Iron Dome, and they've got other systems that stop the rockets from Hamas and Lebanon causing serious damage, right? It's very expensive, but it gets the job done. But if you are sending waves upon waves, they then start to have to make choices because they can't stop all of it, right? They can't stop all of it. And that was the plan, to send the first wave of drones, and the drones cost like $50,000 each, which is relatively cheap in military terms. And then you send your missiles to hit the targets you want to hit. Now, Syria said, our airspace is closed. We ain't hearing it. Qatar, Kuwait, our airspace is closed. Bare countries and regions said, listen, our airspace is closed for Israel or America to try to do no fuck shit in it. However, Jordan opened the airspace, which allowed Israeli Air Force and British Air Force and American Air Force to go and shoot down drones, right? And shoot down all this type of stuff, which caused a lot of discontent within the region because they're like, rah, hold on, Jordan, you lot are moving very traitorish, right? So they were able to take out the majority of the drones and stuff going through. However, there was big strikes on the military compound in Negev, which was like, I believe, in the south of Israel towards Egypt and towards Eilat, right? And this is significant because this is the first time Iran has launched an attack on Israel from its own soils. This is unprecedented. Unprecedented, right? And their man in Israel, they did not believe that this was going to happen. Because Israel has been goading Iran for a long time. And they believe that Iran does not really want a full-out war with them. Because, yes, they've got missiles, they've got this and that in the first, but don't really have the air force to go and take flights from Iran to go and attack Israel. And also, the thought of America getting involved, they can't beat Iran, it can't be Israel and America in a war. And I believe this was heavily in the calculations of Netanyahu. I believe it's twofold. One, we are getting our asses kicked in Gaza. We haven't been able to get back no hostages from military pressure. Our global reputation is in the mud, where like our allies are running out of patience with us. Everybody else in the world thinks that we're disgusting. So 60 years of our branding is in the mud. Right? We're losing soldiers up and down. Soldiers are literally losing their minds, losing limbs. People are so scared that they're not even infantry doesn't even follow tanks anymore in Gaza because they're that scared. Because the Hamas have been destroying these tanks. In fact, most of their good tanks are gone. And now they've literally withdrawn the majority of their troops from Gaza. And according to America, they believe that 30% of Hamas's military capabilities has been done out. Hamas have told Iran 15% of their capabilities have been done out. You could say somewhere in between the middle. But 6 months, billions of dollars, killing 33,000 people, and at best, 65% of Hamas is still in operation. That's a big L. Because they say they're going to take out Mohammed Diff, Sinwar, and all the top dons. That's failed. Completely eradicate Hamas. That's failed. Get the hostages back. That's failed. Also, Netanyahu is in big trouble in the ends. Not only is this war not going the way that the Israeli people want because their hostages still aren't here, is that before this war, he was in trouble on charges of corruption. Jail was looking very likely. He even tried to change the constitution to escape this, and that caused mass protests. So he knows that once this war is done, he is politically finished and he can end himself in jail. And bro, Sebity, he was in Fibbin Hospital the other day. He doesn't want to die in jail. So in my opinion, he's using this as an opportunity to, okay, cool. If I can take on Iran and maybe Lebanon and win, this might give me enough political capital to survive. And also, Iran being the big brother and access resistance, they probably feel like the reason why the Houthis and Hezbollah are joining in on this war against us is because of Iran. And they also think, and Iran know that if we hit them, they can't hit us because America get involved. So they kept on trying to provoke and provoke. And in my opinion, they wanted to provoke Iran to retaliate in a way that will enable America to step in the system dealing with Iran. However, I believe they miscalculated because they didn't think Iran's retaliation would be this. That's why they are rattled. I was watching this at 2 a.m. They wrote a letter to the UN Security Council because they're not a member, so they can't force a meeting. They asked, I believe, the ambassador, which is from Malta, to do a meeting. And literally, like around 9 p.m., so our time, 4:30 New York time, UN Security Council is going to have a meeting regarding what happened because they are so livid. It's interesting. They run to the UN, but every time the UN Security Council says this or the UN says that, oh, they're anti-Semitic. They're working with Hamas. Now all of a sudden, they're crying to the UN. How ironic. So they miscalculated. And America have said, you lot better not retaliate because you don't escalate this thing. And also, we are not getting involved. So let me get. Let me see if I can get some of the gist up. Some of the statements. So White House National Security spokesperson John Kirby, who I generally despise, says we do not seek an escalation or want a wider war in the region. He said this about 5 hours ago. So my time, that's around 3 p.m. Sunday. America do not want this to get any further. First of all, Biden and them are already getting their heads slapped for letting this Gaza war go like this. The last thing they want is more instability in the region. It cost them billions of dollars, allegedly, to deal with the attack yesterday. They don't want that. Yeah, I got it here. So allegedly, here's the gist. According to sources, Iran's retaliation cost them $32 million. You're going to be thinking, rah, that's a lot of money. But Israel's cost, without the US, UK, Israeli jets and missiles, so even without this stuff, $1 billion. $1 billion. And this is from Israeli officials. So this is very expensive, and it's not a good look, and nobody wants war in the region. The Iranian Revolutionary Guards chief said the overnight attack is part of a new equation where if Israel attacks our interests, assets, personalities and citizens anywhere at any point, we will retaliate against them. And I believe this is true. See, this is what I believe, right? Iran were like, cool, we're not really ready for a war with these lot, because if these lot get mad, they're going to start attacking our nuclear facilities. So we're only a matter of weeks or months away of completing this. We need to make sure we get the job done, right? However, we cannot allow these men to act with impunity. They're not scared. They actually killed one of our own on our own soil in cold blood. So what I believe Iran did was set a new red line. If you lot do this, you know we're going to attack. And what I think is interesting, because I know some Iranians and some people who are very upset with how Israel have prosecuted this invasion of Gaza wanted to see, look, listen, 16 people have been killed by Israeli airstrikes in Syria in terms of like Iranians and stuff like that. So they wanted to see like some form of retribution. Of course, as we know so far, nobody's been killed. But this is a bigger game, right? So what they've effectively done is they've shown Israel that we can actually get to you. Because we've already, you don't admit it, but we know we've got one of your military bases, right? And they believe this was a military base where that was the propelling point for the attack in Damascus. But now we also know how your defense systems work. We know what the Americans are going to do, what the Brits are going to do, how you're going to defend against this. So now we can reverse engineer. We've got all the gist. And now next time, we could adapt to that. Do you get what I'm saying? So I think this is a strategic win for the Iranians. That's my perspective. Now, from Israel's perspective, okay, cool. These men went further than we expected them to. We need this condemned. And we've seen condemnations. I'll put on the YouTube. Keir Starmer, America, Macron, Lord Cameron, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who is not really a Prime Minister, we don't even see you. Get your bitch ass out of here. But when Iran was struck, there's no condemnations, though. No condemnations, bro. But now they retaliate, which is legal under, I think it's, is it Article 51? I was reading it up earlier the other day. Now it's Wahala. Now it's reckless. Nobody died when Iran did it. It's so interesting. I've caught that a lot of diplomacy and Western values is just basically when our white counterparts do something that we support, it's cool. When you man do it, it's not cool. Now, from Israel's perspective, we had to put a lot of resources in this. This was the first day in Gaza since October the 7th where there was no planes above Gaza. They're out in the street celebrating. Now, Iran has shown they're not scared. Israel knows they're surrounded. Israel knows they cannot go to war with Iran or Hezbollah because they can't even flipping deal with flipping Hamas. And even though, and they've taken the soldiers out of Hamas to deal with a war with Hezbollah, which they are not going to win, bro. But they're desperate anyway. But they know they can't fight this war on multiple fronts. They can't, especially without the assistance of the US. And the US have made it very clear that they're not going to get involved. Because Iran have told them, you can't get involved. And it's even a bad look for Israel, America to get involved. What? It doesn't serve them in any way. That's why they're trying to use their diplomatic pressure on Iran not to do anything. And I think America will be involved from a defensive perspective, but they'll not be involved from an offensive perspective. And Iran hit their main goal. Israel, you're running around like your puck. You can't do that no more. Let me see if I've got any other tweets from you. One thing that was crazy to see was the Israelis. I saw a video of these. They were literally, because you could see everything in the sky. And obviously, as the anti-aircraft defense missiles are flying through, all the anti-drone missiles, they're laying them down in the sky. You can hear and see it in the sky. And the Israelis were frightened. It's a snippet onto the terror that these forces have literally implemented in Syria, in Lebanon in previous years, and in Gaza every single day. Let me see if there's any other gist I want to give you. Yeah, but I think that's pretty much it, really. So what are the next steps? Israel did say that they will address this, but in their own time. So that makes me believe that this is not imminent. They'll probably attack maybe individuals in their own time. America are putting pressure on Israel to not retaliate. So I would predict they won't. I don't think we're seeing World War III. I think that's a long way away, thankfully. And yeah, I think that's it, people. I think that's it. Yeah, man. That's it. Sorry, people, the YouTube didn't go up last week. The sound, I don't know how the sound was messed up. I really don't know. I know we had a backup audio. I might still put out a episode on YouTube just as like a bonus, but the audio won't be as smashing as it is now. But yeah, until next episode, people, peace. Bow.
Sports Social Podcast Network.